Thank you, Lord. I'm excited about today because I just know that the Holy Ghost is moving. And there's a whole lot of reasons he's moving. And we want to be a part of it. We want to see what the Lord's going to do. If you haven't read about the, I keep sending out flyers. So if you're not on my email list, sign up with Linda. And back there, she has a sign-up sheet in the bookstore. Get on my email list. But the reason we're calling it the Fresh Oil Conference is because Clay Nash, who's a father of Dwelling Place, a father in my house, and he's a prophetic man of God. He had this dream about fresh oil and the fresh oil being covering our nation once again. And listen, we need the fresh oil anointing from heaven in order for us to see the days that are coming and be effective ministers of the gospel in the days ahead. We're going to have Anthony Turner be a worship leader, and he is you are going to love his worship. He just goes to the throne room of God. He's precious, humble man of God. He was a pastor in Colorado Springs for a number of years, and then he... now he's not a pastor, but he does worship for men like James Nesbitt, Chuck Pierce, some of their meetings. He's just kind of all over the place. Wherever the Lord takes him, he was with Ray Hughes not long ago. So he's kind of all over, but he is a powerful worshiper. Thank you, John, for that powerful worship this morning. That was rocked the house. Thank you. That was so good. I was so blessed. I love... when we have powerful worship and we just touch the Lord. And we just think, I want to thank also Josephine and Patrick last night. You know, and Colleen and Brett have really dove in on this. But on Saturday nights, you guys have a treasure. We have this worship night that's just 6 hours, six different worship leaders, and some of the best worship leaders in town come. You should be here. It's an empty house a lot of times, which I love because I don't mind. I know there's one I worship and I only see him. And I don't mind leading one into worship, me. But if you can come to this and just soak in the presence, you don't have to come for 6 hours. Just come for 30 minutes if you want to. Come for 20 minutes. Come for an hour. Come for six. So whatever you want to do, it's precious. We want to see, and I didn't talk to you about this, but we talked a little bit about it last night, but we want to see this ramp up. We want to see it become something huge, and we want to see a lot of people involved in it. So if you want to come and you want to be involved in it, jump in while the water's good. It's just going to be precious to see worship leaders, but also you don't have to sing. We need people who will come in and read the Word of God and pray the Word of God, speak the Word of God, declare His Word over our city. So we need you. We need that to happen, right? Am I right, Josephine? So thank you, Josephine. We need prayer warriors. The Lord told me in September to do this Fresh Oil Conference that's coming up in April. And at the time, I was like, yeah, we need prayer. Yeah, that's good. That's good. We'll do it. And then the Lord said, you're not going to do any other conferences all in 2019. And I said, awesome. That's excellent. And at the time, that was before the election. I had no idea what was just about to transpire in the election, but the Lord did. And so guess what? I trust in Him. He knows what He's doing. We're going to have a blast. It's not going to be a oh hum. Look what the Lord is allowing us to go through. This is going to be horrible. We are going to declare the truth of the Word of God over our city for 3 days. It's 12, 12, 12. 12 hours, 12 hours, 12 hours. And it's going to be a nonstop event, morning to night. We are not stopping. Okay? We're going to go. And now people can come and go and go get lunch or whatever they want to do, or you can fast and pray and you can just stay here in this building. And I'm bringing a cot because I'm going to sleep here. You know what? When the Lord commissions you, you do it. And I'm just like, yes, whatever. I don't care. And I'm going to expect signs, wonders, and miracles to happen. Deb, I wanted to say that word you gave this morning was powerful. And you're exactly right. I had a dream I'm in a dreaming season. Ha. Sorry. I apologize in advance because when I get in a dreaming season, things happen. This is real wobbly. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anyway, I dreamed this week this cool dream. Your word is spot on. Oh, my goodness. I dreamed that I was real close to my house, First Street, which is pretty prophetic as well. First Street. I was. I looked down the street. Sometimes I don't go to events when it, like even here, when it's snowing a lot, because I have two pretty large hills, one to get down and one to get up. We go down into this valley where there's a stream, and it can be a trick to get back up that hill. So, and it could be a trick to go down the hill. Anyway, I was at the top of the hill on First Street, and I was going down. And I pulled my truck over, which happened to be, I drove 5 Suburbans in my life. It was a blue Suburban that I had at the time. And my vehicles were totally dedicated to the Lord. Whatever I did in my vehicle, it was because the Lord told me, you know, we did family things, we did whatever, took a lot of people to church with us, all that kind of thing. But it was totally dedicated, my vehicles are all totally dedicated to the Lord. And a lot of times, if I can't find the presence of the Lord anywhere, I go to my truck. If I go to church and I can't find the presence of the Lord, I go out to my truck, and my Lexus is no different. Praise the Lord for this Lexus. Oh, I'm not hauling around 6 kids anymore. And so I dreamed that I'm at the top of First Street in my blue Suburban, and I look down at this snow that is coming from heaven. Snow is a pure word from heaven. It's a whole lot of purity, and it's revival. Okay, so I look down, and I'm thinking, oh, there's a lot of snow, and I don't know how I'm going to maneuver this street, this going down and going up. So I got out of my truck, left the keys in it running, left it running, got out of my truck, and I came over to the front of my truck, and I looked over at the sidewalk that had already been plowed. It had already been cleared. But down below, I knew there was at least 6 feet of snow and probably more. While I'm standing down there looking at the situation, a car, you know these little bitty cars that just buzz around, you know, and they just go really fast. Well, a car comes, and this was like 2 a.m. I knew what time it was. I knew I had left a house of prayer or a revival of some sort, and I had come to this place where I was standing. Anyway, I watched this this little car buzzes right past me, and it turns right down the street. There's a street right down at the bottom of this hill, and when the car turned, it went through this wall of snow. It looked like it was probably more like 10 foot there, because the car went through and it left a large hole. And I was just like, what is this? And there were 2 other vehicles that went by, but when I turned around, my truck was gone. And then I think, well, I'm going to go up to the, there's a church on the hill right there at First, and I'm going to go up there and I'm going to see if I can find my keys. So I wasn't worried about the truck, I was worried about the keys. Which is interesting, another prophetic metaphor, because we want the keys to revival, okay? So I went up and I was looking for, and I found this door. I opened this door and I walk in, and it's a very small room, but there's something like a tractor in there, a tractor engine. It's very narrow, and it reminded me of a tractor, but there were no wheels on it. And my keys were hanging on the wall. And I grabbed the keys, I turn, and I saw, I'll see if this tractor starts. And I put the keys in, and the tractor started. And I remember hearing the sound of a tractor. I grew up in a farm town, I know what a tractor sounds like. And just reminds me again of the dreams of the keys, the John keys. So anyway, the tractor, Deb, how this relates to what your word is. Here's what a tractor is. Tractor is a powerful harvest multiplied. Powerful harvest. And it's when we're plowing in hope. Because we are plowing in the hope of a harvest. I'm sorry, I throw glasses all over. One day I broke my glasses in front of everybody. Okay, strength. That's why I'm a little concerned for this stand here. I'm like, okay, strength. But a tractor is strength. It's preparing for the harvest. It's provision. If you have a harvest, you have provision. Okay? If you are, and then you are unlocking and you're working the harvest and you're breaking new ground. So you said, our hands are dirty. and we are getting ready. And I believe that Living Word Ministries was born out of that desire to see the harvest happen. I believe that Living Word was born in that whole idea of we want Jesus to come close. We're going to learn the prophetic, not so that we can be all, oh, this word is for you, and I'm going to give you this grandiose word. No, our words are so that we will build people, strengthen them so they can go out and they can do the work of the kingdom. That's our job. And when we give somebody a word, and I tell you, I think the shorter the word, the better. If you give a word, a picture, and you say that to somebody, and maybe you don't know what that is, which is totally fine. Sometimes we just need to keep our mouth shut and let that person stew on the word of God that just came into them, that picture that just came in from heaven, that we don't touch that word. Do you know what I mean? Thank you, Lord, because the anointing of the Lord is right here in this place. Father, right now, we thank you for the revival that's on the word. We agree with the word that Deb gave this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that is going to bring revival. There is none of us that can bring about the revival that has happened in the past or that has been prophesied in the past by Bob Jones or Paul Kane, any of these prophets of God, David Wilkerson, any of these men of God who have prophesied revival. None of these things can happen unless we agree with heaven and unless we are in prayer and crying out for revival. There's very reason. I don't say amen a lot of times because I'm a 24/7 prayer meeting and so are you. Listen, folks, we think of prayer a lot of times as boring, but prayer is fun. Prayer shakes things and changes things. I've been in a season of fasting, prayer, and communion. I take communion every morning. And let me tell you something. I've never seen things break open quite like I have since I think I started somewhere around the beginning of the year, but I can't remember if it was last year that I started taking communion. The Lord told me to do it, started doing it, and almost every day I was seeing breakthrough, and I am seeing breakthrough, and I'm seeing things exposed in people's lives that we have prayed for things for decades, and all of a sudden, boom, I'm just like, whoa, this thing is powerful. I have books on communion out there. Grab them. Okay. Anyway, get a hold of that. Because if we can just ask the Lord every morning, Lord, I participate with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, with the blood of Jesus Christ, and the bread, the body of Christ. And, you know, I was thinking about that where it says it's broken, his body was broken. You know what? His flesh was broken for us. You know when they say we have a break in our skin? Because people have wondered about that thought process. Well, his body wasn't broken. No, his bones weren't, but his skin was. And we were healed with that broken skin. Isn't that a powerful thought? I've just been thinking about it as I've been doing communion. But the Lord, glory, is so good to give us his broken skin. The largest organ in his body, his skin was broken for us. Oh my goodness, that makes me want to shake right now. I actually feel the presence so strong. Lord, we just ask that you raise the glory level in this place. I also sense the presence of angels, and so I just want to say that we have visitors this morning that we welcome that we can't see. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen, I was born a child of revival. My mama and daddy were going to Bible college in Houston, Texas, and that's where I was born. My mama and her teacher, her professor in Bible college were speaking in tongues as I was born. I will never say I'm sorry for speaking in tongues too much. I believe in it. I was born into it. I'm born a revivalist. My mom and daddy went to church in John Osteen's garage. Yeah, way. Thank you, Jesus. I cannot be happy without the presence of the Lord. I just absolutely can't be satisfied with another meeting or another thing. I need the presence of the Lord, and I need to be confronted by it every day, every night, every day, every night, every day, every night, unceasing, because I'm a 24/7 prayer meeting, and so are you. When we agree with the heaven, we agree with Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We bring down the presence into our lives, into our area, into wherever we are, and watch out. When I was a child, I don't know if I'll get to the scriptures, but yes, when I was a child, I sat on the front row and yelled worship every Sunday morning in my daddy's church. And the preachers that would come in, you know, they were like, what's this? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to yell worship. Because it's like all I had, all I could do to yell everything. When my mom and daddy were a big part of in our little town, were a big part of the Jesus movement. They brought in David Wilkerson. My mom just called David Wilkerson and said, would you come? And he said, yeah. He drives, they come in, him and Dino Kartsanakis, remember that? They drove into that little bitty town. They probably thought, what are we doing? There was like one restaurant, two lights. But my mama and my dad were that kind of people. We were in church Sunday morning, Sunday night. I cut every tooth I have in my head on pews, and so did my children. And they know what it was like. They know what the presence of the Lord is, and they'll never be satisfied with anything else. All right. When I was a child in school, I knew that my classmates weren't saved. I'd hear things come out of their mouth, and I knew they didn't know Jesus, and I knew they didn't have what we knew, the presence of the Lord. I remember weeping around the altar for hours. Sunday night service was the time we got a hold of the altar, and we laid on the floor. And that was what I grew up in, Pentecost, and the charismatic renewal, and all of that. And in my own home, we had rap sessions during the Jesus. I remember we had triplets came to our house. This is really funny because we had triplets come to our house. And that night, we had a breakout of the Holy Ghost. There was all the kids from the high school. And this one kid, this one of the triplets, they all went down under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I went into, my dad had them in a different room because there wasn't room in the basement, you know, for everybody in one place. So they spread them out, and this one kid was banging his head, was speaking in tongues, banging his head against the door. I'll just never forget that. But I went to bed many nights. My mom would say, okay, it's time for bed. I went to bed many nights, though, in the presence of the Lord in the house and the glory of the Lord coming down during that time. I was saved during the Jesus movement. I want to see that kind of thing happen again, but I know it will be better this time. I know it will be better. It won't be a ending habitation. It will be a lasting habitation. All right. But listen, right now we need to become revival. I prayed in school. I prayed for my kids, my classmates, and they had no idea. I never said a word to them. I was this shy little girl. But I prayed myself to sleep with tears many, many nights. And I still do because I love my classmates. We only had 100 kids in our class. Guess what? I'm thinking somewhere close to 80% of them have come to Jesus. Now, that's without them knowing anything about what Stephanie said. But when I go and I hear the stories and I'm hooked up on Facebook with them, I'm like, oh, my Lord, one of my classmates who really didn't like me had such an experience with God. She supported me on my last missions trip. I said, what happened? She said, I had such an experience with God. There's nothing I can do but do more for Jesus, but what he has done for me. That's what revival does. That's what revival does. That's what the presence of the Lord does. God saw a little child cry herself to sleep over the souls of her classmates. And the Lord honors that prayer today. Listen to me. Living Word was born out of tears and born out of a need for revival. And I remember when Living Word came over to Golden because I invited you guys over to the basement. And I said, please come here. And so you guys came down there, and I started going to the school before I went to the church. I went to the school. I took every one of Rich's classes, every one of Gail's classes, more than once. I did Rich's class several times because I wanted to get it. I wanted to get it all, and I wanted to learn it and understand it. So, okay, now let's get to the notes. Glory. So why do we need a fresh oil anointing? We have some decisions to make here, all right, my friends? It's not something that we just say, oh, well, we need that. Oh, it'll just come one day. It'll just happen one day. I know that if we just keep preaching good word and we keep just coming to church faithfully, we keep doing this stuff, then I know that just one day it'll happen. No, listen, my friends, we have got to be the ones. The Lord is looking for the ones who will cry out, who will cry out for a nation, who will cry out for a generation of children. Am I right, my sister? And the nation of Israel, we cry out for the nation of Israel because we believe the revival is going to be there. I don't know if you've ever read Brother Young's story about Brother Young has a book called, oh boy, help me, huh? Heavenly Man. And if you have not read that book, you need to read that book. It is one of those life-changing books that will shake you out of your seat onto the floor, and you will weep over it because they believe with their life blood, they are getting down the Silk Road in China so that they can get back to Jerusalem to bring the gospel, because they believe that once enough of them are poured out and their whole life goal gets back to Jerusalem and they begin to share the gospel in Jerusalem. This is China, I'm telling you. China. They believe revival will hit, Jesus will come. Okay. It's already happening. It's already happening. I know people who save their money all year just to go to Israel, just to pray in the land. And that is from a poor, very poor country. And they're blacklisted. A lot of times when they go back home, they get blacklisted. I have a friend who's blacklisted. It's not good. We need to know that. We need to remember that it's not good. We can, here in America, we can start saying, oh, everything's good. Everything's getting better. Everything's wonderful. That Lego song, everything is awesome. No, my friends, we must remember our friends, those who are suffering right now in chains, and we must remember it like we ourselves are sitting in chains with them. We must. It's scriptural. I put it on your scripture page. Okay. Living Word is a prophetic community. Yes, you can, my dear.
Remind this church that we were eagles. We were flying eagles, flying high. That's where God had us. We got to see that again.
That's right.
We've forgotten that.
We have forgotten that. You are right, my dear. Is there anything else?
We need to pray for Rich.
We need to pray for Rich. You're exactly. Let's just, right now, let's just lift up Rich. Father, right now, we just thank you for our brother, Rich, the founder of this place. We thank you, Lord, for the father of this house. God, we bless him. We ask you, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be upon him today. We ask you, Lord, to align every purpose and agenda that he has in Israel right now. Align it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I don't know if he's asleep right now or going to be to sleep, but Lord, we ask for a dream, for a vision of encouragement and strength, Lord. We ask, God, that you will give him wisdom, knowledge, and revelation. And we ask that you part the clouds of despair over him and over the nation of Israel. And we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will come down and strengthen now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I just found out this morning that I might get to go to Israel, and I'm like so excited. Okay, so the reason we build, we're building what we want to build here is because of the gospel and because of the harvest. And because Jesus commissioned us. We can't forget that. It's our commission. The school that was established here actually has affected the entire Front Range. And I'll tell that story sometime about how it has affected this Front Range. It's massive. And so we're looking at restarting the school. Ed is a part of that, and a big part of that, because what he teaches is straight word of God and healing, which is so powerful. But if we do this, pray that it will be established. We want to reestablish what Rich and Gail started with, the prophetic being taught and trained with excellent protocol, so that it's in a safe house, so that we can go out and train others, but we can be effective ministers of the gospel in this region. We can, I'll tell you what, I have seen what the prophetic word does. It's not just this thing that builds you up. It's this thing that changes and shifts your life, okay? You don't just do it for fun or some simple thing. It's a massive calling. You know what? It's one of the best tools in our tool belt. Our tool belt has dreams, visions, healing, all of those things. Jesus said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Guess what? The church needs to be the best at that. The spirit of God being poured out upon all flesh. We need to be the best. Dreams and visions, we need to be the best. Otherwise, guess where everybody goes? Psychics. To Harry Potter. That's why I wrote this book. Because I was listening to this conversation by this woman, my daughter goes to a psychic to get her dreams, and I'm like, wait a minute, the church has the good answers, and I was trying to say that, but you know what? There's not a lot of churches that do have those kinds of. They're like dreams. No, we don't do those. Guess what? We're here. We say yes. We do dreams. We'll do them. Okay. What happens in the cycles of America and Israel? What happened in Israel? Let's use them as the blueprint, because everything we know in the New Testament comes from our understanding of the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. I remember the first time I read through the entire Old Testament. I wept every time somebody died. I fell personally in love with every single patriarch. I loved everything about the Old Covenant. And then when the new happened, it just solidified everything in my heart. I want to say too, real quick, I've been reading the book of Romans, and that is one of the books that totally solidifies that thing about the old and the new, and bringing, and just how Paul taught by using the old and bringing it to the new. He was an expert on the Old Testament. And he brought it to the new and made it so real and made it apply to our lives. It's so powerful. So I highly recommend the Passion Translation, because you'll read it in a different way and you'll be encouraged. Okay. Here's what happened in the very beginning. There's this cycle. Let me not skip over this. There's this cycle where everybody knows God. Adam, when Adam came to light, was alive, created by heaven, created by Jesus. When he was alive and walking with the Lord, he knew the Lord. Then there's this falling away. Adam and Eve fell away from the Lord. Then sin and wickedness get so bad that there is a cry for help. Oh, God, help us. We can't deal with this sin anymore. I'm simplifying, as you know. And then there's a season of revival, forgiveness, revival, and all of a sudden, things become new. God heals the land. God heals people. God heals families. Okay? So this is why we need revival. Where did it start? Started way back at Adam. Here's what Psalm chapter 2 says. And you can apply so much of what's going on today back to Psalm chapter 2. How dare the nations plan a rebellion? Their foolish plots are futile. Look how the power brokers of this world, and can I just say deep state, power brokers, the deep state, the Babylonian system that's in play. Listen, it's real. It's there. Look how they rise up and hold their summits. Isn't that interesting that David caught this? As rulers, and they scheme and they confer together against Yahweh and his anointed king, saying, and this is on your notes, let's come together and break away from the Creator. Once and for all, let's cast off these controlling chains that restrain us from sin of God and of his Christ. Let's cast off this marriage thing. Let's call marriage a man and a woman and a woman. Let's cast off, you don't even need to be a female. You can change and be a man. Let's cast off these things that God created, right? Let's cast these things off. Let's cast off, it doesn't matter if we lie. I can lie all I want. I can go to Walmart and steal whatever I want. We can cast off these chains. My friends, don't say it's not happening. Are we living in the middle of that? One Walmart store can lose $1 million in a month. $1 million to theft. Is it happening? Oh, yeah. It's happening. It's very real. It affects all of our costs of living. Okay? Let's throw off those things. We don't need God's word taught in the schools anymore. Nah. Let's throw off that chain of God's word. Oh, my goodness. God help us. Let us come together and break away from the Creator. The Creator. Verse 4. God enthroned and merely laughs at them. The sovereign one mocks at their madness. He watches them for a time and he says, you know what? You're stupid. Then, with fierceness of his fiery anger, he settles this issue. One day, Jesus is coming back with a scepter in his hand, riding on a white horse. I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know that your hair's white as wool. And I know that your voice sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful. Our job is to say, I want to know who this Jesus is. And when he comes this time, I want to know who he is. And I'm going to know immediately because his eyes are going to be like flames of fire. And he's going to come back. Now, is he coming back just in... How did he come the first time? Like a lamb, right? Like a lamb, like a baby, right? How is he going to come this next time? He's coming back like a lion. A lot of people are going to say, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. I don't know who that is. I'm turning away because there's going to be a great falling away, right? When he comes. And he's going to come and he's going to rule with an iron scepter. He says, I will rule the nations. I will crush them with an iron scepter. Because he's not going to, where he's allowed us this age of grace, this time of grace. And grace isn't this wimpy thing that says you can do whatever you want. Grace is this thing that drives us into purity. When we see what we've been saved from, that's why we're going to read these scriptures. When we see what we've been saved from, it drives me to purity. Man, when I think about the holiness of my God, he drives me to want to be holy. Okay, now how am I holy? When I participate with him. It's not how I dress. It's not how I look. It's not how I wear my hair, right? I grew up in that kind of thing. It's not that. I dress, yeah, what? It's not what I eat. None of that. That doesn't bring me to holiness. Boy, participation with the Holy Spirit brings me to holiness, right? And the Word of God and Jesus and the Father. All right. So he laughs at them. In fierceness and fiery anger, he's going to settle every issue. He terrifies them to death with these words, I have poured out my king on Zion, on my holy hill. Israel is his land, and he's going to use it for his purpose forever. Our culture here in the West is in a war with the truth. And we just talked about that a little bit, so I'll move forward to 2 Thessalonians 1, and this is in your notes there. At the unveiling of the Lord Jesus from heaven with his messengers of power within the flame of fire, how many of y'all want to see that? I want to see that. I'm looking forward to that day when we see Jesus from heaven with his messengers of power. He says he will bring perfect and full justice to those who don't know God and on those who refuse to embrace the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the penalty of eternal destruction, banished from the Lord's presence and from the manifestation of his glorious power. This will happen on that day. On that day is a key to know that this particular passage is talking about a later day that we haven't seen yet. Whenever you see on that day, go there. Remember where you are in the word. When he outwardly adorns his holy ones, that's us, with glory, they will be marveled among all the believers, including you, since in fact you've believed in the message of God, right, of Jesus. For God, and then what we want to be the ones who are among that throng of people on that day when Jesus returns. Okay, Romans 1. I do want to say this, that God's wrath is terrible and it is eternal. It's terrible and it's eternal. It is terrible and it is eternal. We don't want God's wrath to be poured out on anyone we love. right? I want you to think about how evil sin is. How evil sin is. People think in this day and age that they can do what is right in their own eyes, that's a scripture, and get away with it. I'm going to do what is right in my own eyes. I'm going to call love this. And then I proceed to treat people with that kind of my love definition, which is actually quite hateful, because you and I have all seen it. They're slanderous, malicious, hateful people, and they call that love. I'm thinking, what are they talking about? Because that's not what I know as love. 1 Corinthians 13 is our excellent definition of what love is. Love lays down my life. Love gives everything I have for my brother, my sister. Okay? But here's what God will do to those who are evil. For God in heaven, this is Romans 1, unveils his holy anger or wrath, breaking forth against every form of sin, both toward ungodliness that lives in the hearts of and evil actions. For the wickedness of humanity deliberately smothers the truth and keeps people from acknowledging the truth about God. You know what? Right now, if you tell the truth, you'll be called everything. If you say the truth, which is the loving thing to say, if I tell you, don't jump off that cliff, you're going to die, that's loving somebody. If I let them run right off the cliff, did I love them? No. Right? There is this saying, every road leads to heaven. All roads. You can go any way you want to. Did Jesus ever say that? He said, I am what? And the life. He's in the one road. He's the one door. He's the one way, right? Okay? If I tell you, my aunt and uncle in our family have a wonderful piece of land down in southern Colorado. It's way out in the boonies. Now, if I tell you, oh, just come on down, every road will get there. I'm telling you, you get off on a dirt road, you go right, you go left, you go right, right, left, right, left. Now, if I tell you, all right, and it's in the middle of nowhere, you know, you have to, I have a list of the right, lefts, and the little, you know, signs to catch along the way. This is what's up there. Okay, yes, that's it. There's where I turn. If I tell you every road leads to their house, come on down. I could literally send you to your death, because if there's a snowstorm, which has happened, you can get caught in that and never find your way anywhere and even find another house. If I tell you that all roads lead to God, is that loving? That is one of the worst lies perpetrated on our culture today, okay? Do all roads lead to the grocery store? Do they? No, it's a complete lie. You think through that thought process and you go, that is the biggest lie ever told. And you can say that so simply to people who say that, okay? God's wrath is going to come down on those, on the wickedness, and on those who don't accept Jesus. This is the truth. This is the truth, and I understood it as a very young child, lying in bed, crying out for my classmates. First, second, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. I would lay awake weeping. Here we are back in Romans, and this is verse 19. God has embedded this knowledge inside every human heart. Will anybody stand before the Lord and say, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that. No. We will stand before the Lord, and we will have nothing to say if we continue in our wickedness. Opposition to the truth cannot be excused on the basis of ignorance, because from the creation of the world, the invisible qualities of God's nature have been made visible, such as his eternal power. He has made his wonderful attributes easily perceived, for seeing the visible makes us understand the invisible. This leaves us all without excuse. throughout human history, from the ancient, and I want to say from the very foundation of the earth, clear till now, the fingerprints of God were upon them, yet they refused to honor him as God or even be thankful for his kindness. Instead, they entertained corrupt and foolish thoughts about what God was like. Oh, God is like this. God is hateful. God is like, God's a woman. You know, you can say anything. You can hear anything about who God is and what God is now. You can hear it every day on TV. Plus, you can hear his name in curse words every single day. Because they don't respect who this God is. They're corrupt. Their thoughts are corrupt. This left them with nothing but misguided hearts, steeped in moral darkness. Although claiming to be super intelligent, they were in fact shallow fools. For only a fool would trade the unfading splendor of the immortal God to worship the fading image of other humans, idols made to look like people, animals, birds, even creeping reptiles. This is why God lifted off his restraining hand and let them have full expression of their sinful, shameful desires. The word of God is so amazing because it prepares us for what lies ahead. When God removes his restraining hand and allows men, and this is what he does, he allows men to become, and I'm saying women, woe man, men, we're all the same. We, not all this, please, boy, we are, there's man and female, there's male and female, and they're both extremely important. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we love that. I love being a female. Why is it okay for a man to be a female and it's not okay for me to be female? I tell you, there's such twisted thought process out there. We are the church. Let's be the best at straightening it out, okay? Amen. Let's do it. Okay. Only a fool would trade the unfading splendor of God. Oh my goodness, because God called us out of himself to be sons and daughters, his sons and daughters. Okay? This is why God lifted off his restraining hand and let them have full expression of their sinful and shameful desires. They were given over to moral depravity, dishonoring their bodies by sexual perversion among themselves, all because they traded the truth of God for a lie. They worshiped and served the things that God made rather than the God who made all things. Glory and praises to him for eternity of eternities. Amen. I love that because Paul was all of a sudden like, glory to God, this King of Kings. He just stopped right there in the middle of his sermon. Okay, for this reason, God gave them over to their own disgraceful and vile passions, inflamed with lust for one another. Men and women ignored their natural order and exchanged normal sexual relations for homosexuality. Women engaged in lesbian conduct, men with shameful acts with men, receiving in themselves the due penalty for their deviation. And because they thought it worthless to embrace the true knowledge of God, God gave them over to a worthless mindset to break all the rules of proper conduct. You and I have both heard things on the news and the things that are happening, and we shake our head going, what are they even thinking? Where did that thought process come from? They are deceitful liars full of hostility. They are gossips who spread malicious slander. You look at the news today, I'm telling you, it's full of malicious slander. How many of you have heard one good news thing about President Trump? Seriously, anywhere other than, you know, we look for him in the internet, right? We look for what he's doing. Praise God for my president. You know what? I prayed for President Obama. I'm praying right now for President Trump. Lord, right now, we just thank you that you have given us a man, a Cyrus King, who is a wrecking ball, who is a wrecking ball to the works of the enemy. And we just thank you, whether he knows it or not, I don't know. I'm just saying, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that he's setting things straight that have been out of order for at least 35 years and been horribly messed up. And I would say longer. With inflated egos, they hurl hateful insults at God. Yet they are nothing more than arrogant boasters. That's today's academia. Have you listened to what they're doing in the schools? Have you listened to how they've destroyed and what they want to do to our children? Good God, have mercy. God, have mercy. You know what? All wisdom begins with the Lord. What's the scripture? All knowledge, true knowledge, begins with the fear of the Lord. The knowledge of the holy is understanding, and the wisdom of the dead is understanding. I go, okay, I messed it up, but I sang it in a song for a long time because I wanted to remember that. All knowledge, everything I need to know comes from the Lord, and I am responsible to get my stuff from him. Okay, they are rebels against their parents and totally immoral. They are senseless, faithless, ruthless, heartless, and completely merciless. That's saying it kindly. Although they are fully aware of God's laws and proper order, and knowing that those who do all of these things deserve to die, yet they go headlong into darkness, encouraging everybody else, do the same. Let's make laws. Let's make laws that say we need to let that child who thinks it's going to transgender, which has to come from somewhere. It can't come from that child. I don't believe that. It's a lie from the pit of hell. God made a girl and a boy a boy. Right? It is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard in my life. And I'm seeing it play out because guess who has to deal? Ed has to deal with these things. I have to deal with these things. John, Sarah, the many one in the ministry, we have to deal with these things. We have to have the proper answer. Guess what? If it's happening outside the church, it's happening inside the church. If if adultery is wrong outside, it's wrong inside. Right? Adultery is one of our biggest problems. Lust, adultery, okay? And homosexuality is just adultery. People go, oh, don't say that about homosexuality. I'm not afraid of homosexuality. I'm not a homophobe. I'm not afraid of it. Are you afraid of it? I'm not more afraid of it than I'm afraid of adultery. I'm afraid, fear in my own self. I never, ever want to dabble in any kind of adultery. I love my husband. 35 years we've been together. Bought me these beautiful earrings. I love him. Would I go to another man? Absolutely. Can I say hell no? Because I would bring down all hell on myself. I am so not interested. I am so not interested. Adultery is wrong whether it's inside the church or out. Homosexuality is just lumped in there with adultery. That's what it is. Why do you think they want to make marriage illegal or homosexual marriage legal? And if you say marriage is between a man and a woman, you are a liar and a homophobe and, they list off all these slanderous names, right? Right? How many have you heard this sermon before? I'm sorry, I'm preaching it big today because that's what the Word of God says. That's why I gave it to you on a piece of paper so you can read it. This is all in the book of Romans, for crying out loud. Read it. I read it like 5 times. One morning I woke up listening to the Romans, weeping. Because guess what? This is why we need revival. Because this is out there. And people don't even have a clue what the truth is, let alone that their own sin is driving the sin nature in them. It's killing them. And it will send them to an everlasting eternity. Oh, God, help us. God, wake us up. Shake us back into reality. Because we've been lulled to sleep by a whole bunch of lies. If you don't think you've been brainwashed, just read the Word of God. And you'll start to go, oh my God. Oh my God, forgive me. Oh my God, forgive me. Father, we cry out right now for our nation that's been lied to. You thought you were going to hear a good sermon on prayer, didn't you? I'm sorry. This is why we pray. This is why we pray. And if you're starting to feel like your skin is burning, just stand up. Because my skin is burning. I recognize how close we are. Come on, let's stand up. How close we are to seeing a generation of people go to hell and have no clue why. And think that they are just, oh, I can do whatever I want. Truth is whatever I say it is. Truth is not whatever you say it is. God has changed my thought process so many times because of the Word of God. Jesus, right now, just put your hands up and pray this prayer if you can. Jesus, just the way you want to. You don't have to repeat after me. Jesus, we cry out to you. Will you wake us up with truth? With truth. Would you open up the Word of God so that we are so close to truth that it burns off everything that wants to lie to us? God, break down the lies that we've listened to. Break the power of the lies that we've listened to. Break the power of the enemy over our lives. Whatever brainwashing we've listened to. God, we repent. Forgive us, God, and help us, Lord, to see the truth. The truth, the truth. Lord, open our eyes to what the wickedness of this world has brought upon us. God, give us the ability to help others see the truth in Jesus' name. Now, am I a hater because I tell you the truth? Am I a hater because I tell you the truth? Okay. Do I love you if I tell you the truth? Do I love you? Yes. I love you because I don't want us. You may be seated if you want to, but I'm like on fire. Father, I just heard the story of a man who's 91 years old, and this is in our town. Listen, let me tell you, the greatest places you can work is in the schools and with children and the other places, the nursing homes and all of those elder care, anything to do with elder care, because they're so close to heaven. They're so close coming out of heaven, the babies, and they're so close to going into heaven on the other side. This man called the police 3 times. He's 91 years old because there were gangs breaking down his front door, he said. This was a dream. It wasn't really happening. But what's happening is he's recognizing that the demons are coming for him and he needs to know Jesus. We cried out immediately when I heard the story. I said, he's dreaming and eternity is showing up in his dreams. Either they're going to have angels show up at their bed or they're going to have demons. It happens. My mission field is Starbucks. I'm sorry, I just live this every day. This is where I live. My mission field is Starbucks. People are so offended by Starbucks. I'm sorry, sorry. They need to go to heaven. It's kind of like a bar. The church needs to be the absolute best. We need to be in the bar. We need to be there, folks. We need to be, don't we? We can't. I'm preaching to the choir right here. You guys know this. You guys love this Jesus that I love. This isn't going to shake you up any more than what the Holy Spirit does in your lives. But you already know. You know this. They don't know this in the bar. In fact, they're listening to all the loops, the lies that we're hearing, and they're believing those things, right? We've got to say the truth. We have got to say the truth. Now, if I say the truth without the Spirit of God, I am like a clanging cymbal. I sound ridiculous. I sound like the gong show. Starbucks, my sweet manager of the store, they were one of the first I gave the book to, because I wrote the book in the store, and the presence of God came down. In fact, Vanessa, one of the other baristas, happened to see her at the bank the other day, and she goes, Stephanie, why haven't you been in? And I said, well, I'm not writing right now. I'm not on a project. And she said, Stephanie, it's different in there without you. I open the store in the morning with them. I open the store, 5 a.m., I'm there. I'm praying. I'm standing in the corner, and I'm praying. Bring the stories, Jesus, bring the stories. I'm writing. I'm frustrated. Teal, God bless him, hired him to do some artwork for me. Because guess what? I give him my money. I have a relationship with him. I can now pray for him. I can now bring the gospel into him, right? This is why you tip your waitress. You don't tip your waitress because you are, you know, tipping your waitress. You're praying them because you now have authority. Now I have authority to pray into your life and speak a good word into your life. Is that worth a dollar? No, it's worth like $50. I love my husband. He's such a generous tipper. He like tips him $100. Everywhere we go. And yet he gets the best service, yes. And last night it was really funny. We went out for a little bit and they just give him stuff, you know, and I'm just like, you're so good. But it's because he's a great tipper. Okay? We have authority then. I have authority in their lives. Andrea. Don't say that name. But my barista had this dream. She comes in, she says, Stephanie, I'm having this repetitive dream. Now, these are people who don't really trust Christianity. They don't have a grid for it. They don't know what it is. I don't know who Jesus is. They'll say, I don't know who Jesus is. I don't know anything about Christianity. I don't have a church. I don't go. I don't ever, never have. Oh, that's okay. Let me talk about Jesus because I love him. But I don't even have to do that. I don't even have to say Jesus' name because I don't want to turn off anything. I want to keep it open. I want to keep the relationship going. Andrea comes in. She has this dream. She said, Stephanie, I have this repetitive dream. I said, come tell me when you have no people in line. She comes over and she says, this is horrifying, Stephanie. It's horrifying. I said, okay. She said, there's this pig on a spit on a fire, on a bonfire. There's huge fire. And the pig is roasting. But the pig is alive. And it's screaming. And she said, I'm standing there. And I'm trying to rip off my skin because I know there has to be a sacrifice. Is that the gospel? My sin is the pig on the spit. And yeah, it's alive. I'm still alive. Okay? My skin, she's trying to yank it off because she knows there has to be a sacrifice. Can I sacrifice for myself, for my own sins? How long, how many days in hell does it take to pay for one sin? How many days? Come on. You can't. Even eternity doesn't pay for it. There's no payment. No. So when I start to tell her, because I'm like, oh, this is the gospel. And, but I didn't say those words. I said, oh. And it was, I swear to you, it was like a cone of silence came down over us. I said, Andrea. And I didn't hear a thing, and I did not see another thing. And she was the same way. She was so like, and I said, this is what that is. And I told her, I'm the church. I should know what that is, right? I began to tell her and I began to share the gospel without saying the gospel and without saying Jesus. There is somebody who has already died for your sin. Somebody's already died for your pig. I began to tell this and I'm talking and telling her. And she's asking me a question and I'm telling her back. Something happened. I snap up. There's a line out the door. Neither one of us had caught on to it. And I said, Andrea, there's a line out the door. And she's like, Andrea, there's a line out the door. I knew what happened was, and this is, I want you all to be encouraged by this, because when the Lord stops you, when you're giving the gospel, the Lord knows the time. He knows the right time. It wasn't the right time yet, apparently. But guess what? The time is coming, and it will be soon. She's coming to Jesus. Guess who? Guess what? She went through a really horrible time over the holidays. Guess who she called? Me. She had to find people to find my number to call me. She was, and I'm like, can I pray for you? Yes, pray for me. Listen, this is how easy it is. Muslims, same thing. They're coming to Jesus and they're so easy. All you have to do is just build relationship. I love you and I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to lie to you. And I'm not going to be afraid of you. I'm not a phobia, nothing. In fact, the Jehovah's Witnesses have to run down the street. They have to blacklist me. Because I love them so much. I'm like, come on, come to my house. Come on. I have the truth. Okay. There's more scriptures on wrath. I just want us to know, we have the truth. We have revival. And revival is coming, and we have no idea how good it's going to be. We also don't have no idea how bad it's going to be. Because whenever you have revival, not only is it really good, it's really bad. Everything gets upheavaled. Guess what happened in the church when the Jesus movement happened? All the regular church-going people were like, I'm not coming and sitting with those dope-smoking, long-haired people, and they want to sit on the floor up front? No! And so they had to go out and start their own denominations, the Vineyard, the Calvary Chapel. By the way, Chuck Smith was in my house in Clay Center, Kansas. My dad invited him. He said, yeah, I'll come and we'll do rap sessions. And so that's what they did. I'm a child of revival. I'm a child of this. You can't take me out of this. I was born for this. You were born for this. This is our calling, to see the great harvest come in, right? We are going to see it. Deb, you keep going, girl, because she touches heaven every day for you guys. And I know she does because the Lord has shown me. Oh, my goodness. Guess what? 1 Peter 4. For the time is ripe for judgment to begin in God's own household. If it starts with us, what will be the fate of those who refuse the gospel? It starts with us. We have to be willing to look ourselves in the mirror of the Word of God, the mirror of the Word of God, and say, oh God, forgive me, I did that. God, forgive me for my attitude. Forgive me for my unteachableness. Forgive me for not listening. God, forgive me. I want to be the best at all of those things. God will deal with us. Do you have to fast? Do you have to do communion every day? No, you don't. Jesus doesn't require any of that. But Jesus did say, when you fast. Right? So when you do, I'm not telling you to, but when you do, it's important. And is it worth it? Is it worth missing food for one soul? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. After I get done eating, half the time I'm like, why did I eat that anyway? Right? Let's get that mindset. Jesus, teach me. When I was at Sid Ross, Lori Ditto was there. Lori Ditto, I met in Kansas City 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I don't know when. Anyway, met her at the International House of Prayer. Lori Ditto went to hell. She was a Christian. She was in a prayer meeting, and she went to hell. Explain that. Explain that to your buddies. Guess why she went to hell? She's a Christian. Why'd she go to hell? She refused to forgive people. And guess what else she said? I saw other Christians in hell. She said, I'm going to tell everybody. She'll be on. You can watch her. Watch her in May, whatever. Because it's terrifying. If we don't work out our salvation with fear and trembling, we are in danger. This is why we need revival. My friends, revival brings us so close to the presence of God. All of the garbage that we believed, the lies we believed, the attitudes we had, they are burned in the fire of the presence of God. That's the best way. I don't want them burned in hell. I want them burned in the fire of God's presence. Because he takes them out and he says, I can't even remember what that was. I remember when I was participating with a sin, with something going on in my life, and I was participating with that thing, that lie in my head. I remember that. And I remember the day he used that very thing against me. And I got on my face and I cried out and I said, God, I repent. I had no idea what that was. I didn't know I was participating with an evil spirit. I had no idea. I had self-justified myself. If we ever live, walk, judge yourself, my friends. Rick Joyner says, I judge myself. I ask God to judge me every single day. I want God's judgment upon my life. I want him to judge me every single day. Jesus, when I'm taking communion every morning, I'm like, Jesus, see if there be any wicked way in me. See if there be any wicked way. God, help me. Because you know what? We can't see it ourselves. If your friend comes to you and says, hey, you're doing this, say, tell me more because I need to know. Because if there's any wicked way, this is a mirror. This is a mirror. The Word of God will show you, but sometimes your friends will show you, and sometimes your friends don't show you so nicely. Sometimes your enemies show you. If God can't use your friends, he'll use your enemies. And then they will shape you into something you need to be shaped into. I'm telling you the truth. And in the church, we should be the best at this, right? We should be the best at doing it in love, right? And then the Bible says, if I go to you and you don't listen, then I'm to bring my brother with me so that we can have this discussion. And so that we can work this out. Oh, that's Philippians. Good, I just preached that. Glory. Okay, why do we need a fresh move of God? Here's my definition of revival. We made revival way too hard. And I know it's 11:04. Please give me some. It's 12:04. Please give me some peace. I love this 24-hour. You know, it can be 12:12 now really awesomely. And we can go, yeah. Oh, no. 1:1:1. It goes, no, it goes, oh, grief. Never mind. I was here one day, and I had an epiphany with the 24-hour clock. Let's just say it that way. Okay. Because I hadn't looked it up that way, and I hadn't thought about it. Okay. I love that. Anyway. Okay. Yeah, it can be 1907. There we go. Or it can, that's when revival broke out, 1904. Let's have revival, okay? Okay, why do we need a fresh move of God? And what is revival? We made revival so hard that nobody can do it. Only certain churches at certain times. Listen, I missed revival in Toronto. My parents took us to see the Anaheim revivals when I was a kid, the Charismatic Renewal. So I saw Catherine Kuhlman. I saw Mario Murillo. I saw Morris Cirillo. I saw all of those guys. I saw David Wilkerson, of course. I saw all of these guys, sat in their presence. I remember the tangible presence of the Lord in Catherine Kuhlman's meeting. It was electricity. It was electric, and I was 7 years old. Seven. I remember it. I want it. Okay, I'm all in. I'm a glory hog. I went to Billy Graham's library. I got smashing drunk. It was so good. And it was the day before I was going to be on Sid Roth interview. And we had always, I was already like, Janet went with me, Janet Freiberg, and she kept saying, "Why are we here, Steph?" And I'm like, "I don't know." I don't know. I don't have a clue how I got here. How did Sid Roth even have a clue what's going on? And so I'm just like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Why am I here? We go to Billy Graham's library. The angels show up. Maybe some of you saw my posts. I'll show you if you want to see. The angels show up. We had this rockin' time. I thought we were going to get booted out. Instead, we go in, and we end up at the end of that thing. There's a prayer room. We go in. I'm like, let's go to the prayer room. We go in. We get smashed again. We're having so much fun. Listen, Billy Graham was not a religious man. He was a on-fire man of God, and he knew the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. And don't let anybody tell you different. He was a man of God, a revivalist. Oh, man, it was so powerful to hear him talk about the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, because we can't have revival without it. I can't tell anybody. I can't interpret a dream without the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. I can't do any of it. In fact, the devil's right here saying, oh, you'll never get that one. Oh, you'll never get that one. And I'm like, you're a liar. You're a liar. And then I move forward, because that's what we have to do. He is a liar. We tell him where he goes. It's not a good place, but we get to do it. Okay. Revival. I hope this becomes your definition. Define it however you need to. But all revival is Jesus coming close. Jesus coming close. Jesus getting closer and closer to me, right? I want him closer and closer to me. I have angels that pig my space. I love that. Come on, angels. This morning, they come and teach with me. I love it, because they'll tap me if there's something I need to stop and talk about. And they are glory hogs too, so we love the glory. I hang out with a company of angels. I had two more come with this book. The first book, Here I Am, The One You Love, I had a big angel came. I'll go to the grocery store now. Little children will go like this. And they're looking not at me, they're looking past me. And they're pointing, Mom, look! and I'm just sitting there going, because the mom's like, what? And they do it over and over and over and over. They can do it to you too. We carry the presence of the Lord. We carry angels with us all the time. We forget they're there, and so we deny their presence. Oh my goodness, they want to be with us. They want to help us with. They're here to see us accomplish a lot. If you haven't read The Veil yet, read The Veil. Oh yeah. Oh, I love that, Deb. I'm telling you, close to heaven right there, my sister. So, Pete, you need to know this too, because when I dream about Living Word, I dream about you. Because what does God say about Peter? On this rock, I will build my house. Every time, Pete, you come up, I'm like, why was Pete in my dream again, Jesus? He's like, Pete is the rock. I love that. Oh, glory. Glory. It's 11:09. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for revival that's on its way. Lord, in Hebrews 13:3, you said, identify with those who are in prison as though we are suffering with them. You said, Lord, to call out for revival. You said, in Ezekiel 22, I sought a man among them who would build up a wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I would not destroy it. Don't think for a second that God won't destroy what he needs to. He will do it to make his name great, and if he has to wipe out the land, he will. He says it. It's his thoughts, not my thoughts. It's his plan, not my plan. It's his agenda, not mine. When I leave and go to the missions field later this year, I am going to Germany and I'm going to Israel. So when I go, I'm not going with Stephanie. I'm going with Jesus, and I'm going to go see what Jesus is doing with the believers there. Glory. Oh, Jesus, I want to see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whatever's happening on this earth, I want it to be what's going on in heaven right now. There's no sickness in heaven. Oh, Rakashurye. I want to tell you one more thing. Because I was so shook up when I heard this. Right now, I want you to pray. Because sometimes we have to be stirred up to pray. We get so lax. 11:11, right now, we're in transition into God's kingdom. It's 11:11, we're moving to 12:12. I want to be in God's kingdom. Listen, every number means so much to me. Today I was driving along, highway 58. No, I was on 58. I was driving on Highway 58, and these ducks start coming. You know the big geese? They're walking across the road. Now, I love that because I think they're hysterical, but I don't love that going 60 miles, 65 miles an hour. I'm like, you sink your ducks, get out of the road. But this is where the church is. We're just mamby-pamby. Oh, there's stuff on the other side. Let's go over and see what's over there. Duck, 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 duck. Right? Right? This is the church. We are eagles. We are eagles. This place is called to be an eagle, a prophetic eagle. Am I right? Listen, I go to the store this morning and I said, I want to buy challah bread. The lady couldn't find it. She didn't know what challah was. I'm like, C-H-A-L-L-A. I know you have it. She goes, finally she goes back, oh, I know what you're talking about. It's challah. It was frozen. This is a picture of us. We've been frozen. Living, the Golden Eagle School of Ministry has been frozen. God is ready to open it back up. We have to see. Do we want to break open the Word of God and begin to study? Do we want to dive in like never before? It's not just a school. It's not. It's a calling and it's anointing. We've been given a gift. We've been given a gift. I actually want to call it the gift. The Lord gave me that. He said, call it the gift. It's a 12 now, 11:12. I love that. 12:12. It's both. We're in the transition. Woo, glory. So we want to call on the Lord's presence because we want revival. Okay, I was going to tell you something that I want you to be shook up about. I want you to be shook up. I want you to lay awake a little bit. Now, I could tell you some things that would really wake you up in the night, but I'm not going to. But this one I want you to know about because I believe it's coming to America. We already know some of the bad stuff that's here, right? We know about pedophilia. We never dreamed it would happen. Homosexuality, I never dreamed I'd have to tell my children about it before they were in high school. I didn't even believe it was true. I was like, I was in college, and I was like, that doesn't happen. That's honest to God, that nobody would do that. Because it's deviant. It's deviant. Who's telling that? Who's saying that anywhere in our public arena? Lee, we are the church. We have to be saying it. Jesus said it. We need to be saying it when it can be heard in love. It's, wait a minute, that's not real. That's not the right way. It's between a man and a woman. It's between a man. Okay, China. In China, last year, they put in 200 million 200 million cameras. cameras. If you drive down the road and you divert your eyes off of the road for just a second, the camera will catch it, send you a ticket. Yes. Anything that they deem a problem, they send you a ticket. It's not what's right in God's eyes, it's what's right in their eyes, okay? So, if you go to church and you hang out with believers, guess what? They know. They know every believer you're hanging out with, and they know everything you're preaching from the pulpit. By the end of this year, they want to have 600 million cameras in China. You know, a lot of times I'm on my computer, and I'm like, who cares? I don't have anything to hide, right? But guess what? They know. We wrap our computers in foil a lot and put them in hiding places when we're talking about certain subjects. Yeah, we're going to there. We're all wearing tinfoil hats. And it's scary. But it's not scary to Jesus. The Word of God prepares us for what's coming. Are we going to be ones who shirk back? Are we going to be the ones that say, no, the book of Revelation, I don't need to worry about that. I'll be gone. I had a Jewish woman in my house, and she said, I think I've told you this story, I hope. She said, Steph, you don't have to worry about the tribulation. You'll be gone. I said, I didn't use this word, but I could have said, hell no, because I will be here with you. I'm your friend, and I believe Jesus is coming, and I'll be here with you. Because a friend doesn't leave when things get bad, right? And if the friend, if the Word of God doesn't prepare us for what's on its way, it's not the true Word of God. This will prepare you. If I can push you into the Word of God more, I will. I will shove you into it. I love reading the Word through every year, at least twice, many times three times, sometimes four. I think I read the book of Romans 10 times this week. Am I done? No. I've read the book of Revelation over 100 times, probably over 120 now. And so it's so important that we dive into the Word of God. Now, Father, we ask, let's stand. You can have everything I have as far as the revival anointing, whatever. I was going to give it to you right now. And we're just going to say the impartation of revival is coming, not because of what Stephanie said, but because of what Jesus is going to do. If you are interested in school here at Living Word, I want you to talk to me. We just have it on hold, but it's a stewing, and I believe the bread is thawing, okay? And we're going to eat it for communion. I brought communion in a different form today because I want you to take it as you take your meal today, and we're going to commune with the Lord. And I brought the bubbly because guess what? It's full of the Holy Ghost. So when you take communion, say, I want to be a revivalist. And we'll set it up here on this table. I'll do that. And we're just going to say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. I want to be full of the effervescent move of the Holy Ghost. And I want to be full of the butter of heaven. I want to be full of the oil of heaven that rains down. You know what? Bread is just a vehicle for butter. Butter, the more butter I can get in my mouth, the better. I want the Holy Ghost to completely saturate my life. And I want to live full of butter, full of a milk and honey lifestyle, full of the effervescent blood of Jesus Christ that's full of life. There is nothing in it that is stale or left over or anything like that. It's alive, it's well, and it's in me. And I live to see it happening. I worship you, Lord. We worship you. And Lord, we ask you to come. We ask you to come in a new way, in a fresh way in our lives. Father, would you move and would you stir us to revival? Would you stir us, Lord, to see a snowstorm of words from heaven? Would you move in our life to see the snow begin to stack up in our lives and the tractor, get our hands dirty for the gospel of Jesus Christ? That word was so perfect this morning, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Lord, I want to get my hands in the dirt. I want to dig and I want to plow so that the gospel of Jesus Christ comes forth. I want to see the harvest, Lord. But Lord, if you just have me planting, help me know my place. I want to just plant. To some I plant, to some I water, and to some God gets the increase. I get to see that though, Lord, and we just agree right now that we are going to see harvest. We are going to see harvest in a mighty way. Oh, Father, we cry out right now for a harvest among our young people, for the greatest children's revival ever on the planet. We ask for that to begin to stir in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask right now that anywhere in any of our lives where we've said, oh, that's just in China. Oh, that's just in India. The Indians are facing such horrific persecution right now. Shutting down the churches, burning everything, burning the families, burning the churches, burning the families' homes, the pastors' homes, throwing them in prison, torturing them. Horrific. God, we remember them this morning as we're tied to them, we're chained to them. We remember their suffering. God, help us. God, help us. Wake us and shake us in the middle of the night to hear the cries of the children. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, help us, this generation of children who don't even have hope in America of hearing the name of Jesus spoken. God, forgive us. Forgive us. We need a change, and we know it's not just because of what we do or we say, but it's because of who we're in partnership with. We lay down our lives, Lord, for you, and we say, shake us to the core. Shake us to the core. Jesus, may we never be complacent. Let's just pray in tongues. Forgive us for being complacent. Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me. I repent for the times when I didn't cry out even in the middle of the night. God, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me, Jesus, for not praying for somebody in front of my face. Jesus, forgive me. Come on, church. Let's cry out. Forgive us. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us. Expose wickedness in our nation. Expose the pedophile rings. Bring down abortion. God, bring down pornography. None of these can exist if the government is in agreement, and the government has been in agreement. Father, we ask right now that you expose every corrupt individual that's involved in it. All of Hollywood that's involved in it. We say bring it down. Expose it. Bring it to the face. God, may your revival begin to flow in our hearts. May we begin to hope. May we begin to plow with hope of a harvest. May we begin to plant seed. Right now, it's March. May we begin to plant seed with the hope of revival, with the hope of a harvest. God, forgive us. Can I say something? Last July, I put $20,000 of my own money down on the church that was right next door to the mosque in Golden. You know, I had the house of prayer for 7 years in Golden. And when we closed that mosque, the plans for that mosque came to my house, my husband's business. And he said, Steph, you'll never believe what they're going to do with that building that's right beside the Presbyterian church. I think it's Presbyterian, maybe Episcopal. Anyway, it's the house of the Lord. And it's a house of prayer. Okay, so I put $20,000 of my own money down. God gave it to me. It was amazing, another miracle. And I said, this is a house of prayer. Every time we showed up there, somebody would come and open the door. We went in and prayed. We'd go in and we'd pray. And I'd be there with a missionary. I'd be there with a man of God. Clay Nash was there one time. I'd be there. All kinds of people would come over and say, we want to pray for the land. Okay, we'd show up over there. I wouldn't tell anybody. We'd show up over there and somebody would come and open the door. And it's like, yeah. There's a full-blown mosque right next door within 20 feet. It looks like it's attached, but it's actually, they share a staircase down the back. It's all out in the open, okay? I had to withdraw my contract in about September-ish, something in there, because it was going to begin to cost me thousands of dollars. I withdrew the contract, and I said, Lord, whatever that was, I was all in. Glory to Jesus. I said, Lord, whatever you use that for, I'm going to bless it. I'm going to continue to pray. And so that's what I've continued to do. Listen, the women would be welcome in our house of prayer. The women aren't welcome in that house of prayer, their mosque. They're welcome in mine. And I'll even fix some food. I was going to get food trucks, you know, Mediterranean food trucks, because I love Mediterranean food. And I was going to have, like, food trucks every Friday, and we're just going to have glory meetings. You're invited. Come on. Come on, you know, to the ladies next door. I already had these ideas. Jesus said, put up, and this may have just been in the spirit. I don't know. Put up a sign that says the happiest place in Golden. I was going to do it. Happiest place in Golden. Clay Nash came. He said, he dreamed the very next week. He said, Stephanie, I saw you found gold in Golden. And I said, I agree with that. So I let the I let it go. This week, I've been fasting, praying, communion. This week, a lady comes to me, the lady who helped me and saved me, kept my money safe, the real estate lady, she comes up to me. She says, Stephanie, I got to talk to you. What? She goes, there's a lady wanting to buy that building, and she wants to talk to you. And I said, glory to Jesus. You know, sometimes you do something, and you have no idea why. I didn't have $1.8 million. And I said, Lord, if the $1.8 million is just going to show up, then glory to God. I repent right now because I've kept you till 11:25, till 12:25. I repent for that. But anyway, sometimes it's easier to ask permission than forgiveness, right? But I apologize and I repent. I did what didn't mean to do that. But it's so important that we begin to cry out for revival. It is so stinking important. We want to be the ones. Oh, you got to do something. Okay. We want to be the ones who are on it. We want to be the ones who are trained in the prophetic. We want to be the ones who are trained in dreams and dream interpretation. We want to be the ones who are praying for healing, prophetic art, and for angels. I want to do a whole thing on angels because I love angels and they love us, right? So, Jesus, we just thank you right now in advance for the anointing and the impartation of revival on this house. May this be a house of prayer. May this be a house of prayer. And may this be a house of revival from this day forward. This is my birthday week. I'm a 316 baby. I also claim Ireland because I'm all green. But I'm a 316 baby. So is Hannah. Hannah is a 316 baby. And we just say, that's what I want for my birthday, is I want this place to be a house of prayer. I want this place to be imparted with the spirit of revival. May it come. In Jesus' name, I bless you guys. God bless you. I have tons of books on revival. Can I bless the food? We just say, Lord, we just lift up the food before you, and we just say, we thank you, Lord. You said, bless the fruit of the vine and the fruit of the field. I think it's something like that. Father, we just bless, what is it? You know.
That one, I don't know.
Oh, it's the bread, anyway. The bread and the fruit. Okay, so, Father, we just bless the food. We thank you, Lord, for all the ones who've made it. And, by the way, I brought brownies. They're the best brownies in the planet. Just like John's salsa is the best, my brownies are the best. I'm telling you, I judge every dessert by the standard of my brownies. So we bless it, and we thank you, Lord, that there's just sustenance in there for us, and joy and happiness, and we just give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. God bless you, friends. Amen.